Okay, let's unpack this. If you are an entrepreneur, I mean, whether you're just starting out or you're looking at a huge expansion, there's this one critical question. It really defines everything for your business. Should I take on debt to fuel growth? It's so complex, it's high stakes, and too often it's a decision that gets made under pressure.
It is absolutely high stakes, and that's really why our mission today, with this deep dive into the materials our listener sent, is to move that decision from, a frantic dilemma to a completely informed strategy. We're going to deliver a structured five-question framework. The whole point is to put real financial analysis ahead of just guesswork.
Right. And before we even hit question one, the sources really hammer home this one foundational idea. It's that business debt is not just a bigger version of personal debt. It's a whole different ballgame.
It is. I mean, think about it. When you take out a personal loan for, say, a car, that's a depreciating asset. It serves a personal need, sure, but it doesn't usually generate new income. Business borrowing has to be viewed completely through an investment lens. It has to justify its own existence by creating value.
So we're not just talking about whether you can afford the monthly payment. We're talking about forced productivity. The money you borrow has to actively go to work, generating more revenue or maybe cutting your costs or giving you some kind of a real competitive advantage.
That's the core of the return on investment principle. The value the debt creates must exceed the total cost of the capital. And we mean more than just the interest rate here. Unlike, say, equity, debt comes with this rigid commitment. You have to make those fixed payments no matter what. It doesn't matter if your machine is working or the market dips. That fixed payment is the risk.
Okay, so let's jump into the framework that's designed to help you calculate that risk and reward. This five-step process is basically the filter that should tell you if debt financing really aligns with what your business needs right now. So, question one. This is where every successful borrowing journey has to start. Do you have a specific, clearly defined business need? The materials are so blunt on this. Vague ideas like, we need to grow faster or we need to refresh our brand. That is just not enough.
No, the need has to be crystal clear, really tangible.
No.
We're talking about buying a specific piece of equipment to, say, double your production capacity, or buying inventory for a huge seasonal peak that you know is coming, or financing a very targeted, measurable marketing campaign that you know has a predictable ROI. You have to be able to say exactly how the money will be used and what specific problem it solves.
And the red flags are just the opposite of that, right? Borrowing without a detailed plan, taking on debt just because a loan officer says you can have it, or, oh, this is the worst one, borrowing to cover chronic losses.
Yeah, if you're consistently losing money, debt is just kicking the can down the road. You need to stop. You have to fix the root cause of the losses, whether it's pricing or efficiency, whatever, before you add the burden of a fixed debt payment. If you can't define the need, you are just not ready to borrow.
Okay, but even if the need is perfectly clear, the sources say you shouldn't just jump to debt. Which brings us to question two. Can you meet this need with existing resources? Debt shouldn't be the first resort, only the best one.
Exactly. You have to look at your internal options first. I mean, what about your retained earnings, the cash reserves you've built up? Could you maybe delay the expense by a month or two and just fund it through your normal cash flow? Have you looked at, say, liquidating some non-critical assets to free up cash?
That said, there is this crucial caveat that always gives me pause, and that's capital preservation. My gut reaction is always to use my own cash first, but the experts warn that external financing can actually be the smarter choice. Why is that?
It's all about strategic liquidity risk. Look, using your own funds avoids interest, sure, but you absolutely must maintain an emergency buffer. The experts pretty consistently recommend keeping 3 to 6 months of operating expenses in cash you can access quickly. That is your strategic power. So if using your own funds would drain that emergency reserve below that safe level, then external financing is actually the wiser choice, even with the cost. You keep your business safe. And that leads us right into the real number crunching with question three. Does the potential ROI exceed your borrowing costs? This is where we run the hard numbers, and we have to focus on the total borrowing costs, not just the rate you see in an ad.
Okay, that's the one detail that trips up so many first-time borrowers. They see the interest rate. But what else are we counting in that total cost?
Oh, everything. The total interest over the life of the loan, for sure.
Yeah.
But you also had to add in all the fees. Origination fees, application fees, maybe broker fees. And you have to look for things like prepayment penalties, which can be brutal if you try to pay it off early. If you gave a personal guarantee, you should even factor in the kind of intangible cost of that added personal risk.
I've seen it happen. An entrepreneur gets what looks like a low rate, maybe 8%, but the fees and the points are so high that they basically double the cost of borrowing for that first year. Ignoring the fees is the biggest trap.
Exactly. And on the other side of the coin, when you project your returns, you have to be conservative, ruthlessly conservative. Run three scenarios: best case, expected case, and worst case. The decision has to make financial sense in the expected scenario, not the fantasy one.
Let's make this real. Let's use that catering business example from the sources. So we have a $100,000 loan, 10% interest over 5 years. The total payback with all the interest is about $127,500.
Okay, so what does that loan do? That $100,000 buys them a dedicated fleet of delivery vehicles. And the returns are twofold. First, they immediately eliminate $1,500 a month in outsourced delivery costs. Gone. Second, the new fleet lets them take on $8,000 in new monthly contracts. And at their proven 40% profit margin, that's another $3,200 in gross profit.
Okay, so you combine the saved costs, the $1,500, the new profit, $3,200, for a total monthly benefit of $4,700. Then we subtract the loan's fixed monthly payment, which is around $2,125.
Right. Which leaves a very healthy net monthly benefit of $2,575. Over 5 years, that loan has generated something like $154,500 in net benefit against that $127,500 cost. That is a massive positive ROI. If you can't do that math and prove that net benefit, you don't take the loan, period.
And that math pushes us right to question four. Is your business financially stable enough to handle the debt burden? This isn't just about today. It's about being resilient, having that cushion for the future.
Stability means consistent cash flow, healthy profit margins, and, you know, a history of managing any existing debt well. The key metric here that lenders and you'll use is the debt service coverage ratio, DSCR.
Okay, I see DSCR all the time. For someone listening, can you just break down what that ratio is actually measuring?
It's pretty simple. It measures your business's net operating income against your total debt payments, including the new payment you're thinking about adding. Lenders want to see a DSCR of at least 1.25. In plain English, that means your operating income should be 25% higher than the amount you need for all your debt payments. That 25%, that's your cushion.
And that cushion is so important, but I bet most people only calculate it to satisfy the bank. The sources really push that you need to stress test this internally, right?
Yeah, absolutely. The stress test is the real value here. You have to run worst-case scenarios. What if a huge client just leaves next quarter? What if your cost of goods goes up by 5%? What if revenue drops 15% for 6 months? If running those tests pushes your DSCR below 1.0, meaning your payments are more than your income, you are in a very vulnerable spot. You should probably strengthen your business before you add any more debt.
Okay, so let's say the need is clear. You checked your resources, the ROI is great, and your stability can handle a stress test. We get to question five. Do you have a comprehensive financial plan for managing the debt? This is the roadmap to make sure you prevent stress and default over the next few years.
Yeah, this moves you past just the application and into execution. The key elements are things like payment integration, how that payment sits into your budget, which revenue stream is specifically allocated to cover it. But just as important are the administrative rules and your contingency plans.
Let's talk about the administrative side. You mentioned loan covenants. For an entrepreneur who's new to this, what is a covenant and why is tracking it so important?
A loan covenant is basically a promise. It's a condition you agree to follow for the entire life of the loan. It might be something like maintaining a specific amount of cash on hand or keeping your debt-to-equity ratio below a certain number. If you breach a covenant, even if you've made every single payment on time, it can technically trigger a default. That's why you need an accountant to help you constantly monitor and make sure you're in compliance.
So once you've said yes to all five questions, you're ready to borrow. But that's not the end of it. You don't just take the first offer. Optimization is everything.
Exactly. You have to shop around aggressively. Mm-hmm. Compare traditional banks, credit unions, and all the online lenders that are out there now. They all specialize in different things.
And when you're shopping, the material stressed looking past the simple interest rate to the APR, the annual percentage rate. Can you just remind us why APR is the more honest number?
Because the APR gives you the true annual cost. It factors in the interest rate plus all the mandatory fees, like origination fees. So if lender A offers 8% interest with a 5% fee, and lender B offers 10% with no fees, lender B might actually be cheaper. The APR makes that comparison clear so you aren't fooled by a low headline rate.
And a quick note on credit impact. The application process, yes, it generates hard inquiries, but the sources confirm that if you're rate shopping, if you group those inquiries within a short window, like 14 to 30 days, it minimizes the damage to your score. They're often treated as just one event.
Now, what if you ran that framework and one of the answers was no? Debt is not the only option. You need to know the alternative paths.
Right. That's where things like non-dilutive funding, like grants, come in. We're talking about capital for specific groups like businesses owned by women, minorities, veterans, or for things like innovative tech.
Mm-hmm.
It's free money, but it comes with a lot of rules.
Then there's equity financing, which is selling a piece of your company. It dilutes your ownership, yes, but you avoid those fixed monthly payments of debt. Or if it's a cash flow timing issue, revenue-based financing might work. Your payments go up and down with your sales, which is flexible, but it's usually more expensive in the long run than a traditional loan.
And if you're just not ready, maybe question 4 showed you're not stable enough, the best move is just to strengthen your foundation before you borrow. Focus on increasing profits, stabilizing your revenue, and building up your business credit responsibly.
And just to put this all in context, let's look at the U.S. financing landscape really quickly. Traditional banks offer term loans. That's a lump sum you pay back over a fixed period, perfect for buying a building or a big piece of equipment.
And then you have lines of credit, or LOCs. Those are flexible, they're revolving, you only pay interest on what you actually use. So they're great for managing those seasonal cash flow gaps without being locked into a huge monthly payment.
And crucially, we have SBA loans. These are guaranteed by the government, which means less risk for the lender and usually better terms for you. The 7A loan is sort of the workhorse, used for almost anything. The 504 loan is more specific. It's for buying fixed assets like real estate. There are a lot of paperwork, but the better terms are often worth it.
And finally, that whole world of alternative lenders, the fintech platforms. They offer super fast approval and are more flexible, which is great for businesses that a bank might turn down. But the trade-off is almost always higher rates and shorter terms. Things like merchant cash advances can get really expensive, really fast. And invoice financing can be a lifesaver for B2B companies waiting to get paid.
But regardless of the option, timing is everything. The sources suggest that the growth phase is often the sweet spot for borrowing. You've already proven your concept, you have traction, and debt can just accelerate the progress that might take years otherwise.
But operational readiness is just as important as financial readiness. I mean, if you borrow to scale, you better have the management and the systems in place. Borrowing $100,000 to scale a chaotic operation is just, well, it's just paying for more chaos.
And that brings us to our final check on risk management. You have to maintain cash reserves after borrowing, not just before. You need rock-solid contingency plans.
So a contingency plan means knowing ahead of time where you'd get the money for a payment if cash flow gets tight. Like, could you collect your receivables faster? Could you tap into an emergency line of credit?
And constant monitoring is non-negotiable. You have to track your performance against your projections, not just quarterly, but monthly. And you have to keep an eye on those loan covenants. If you think you might have a problem meeting one, you need to talk to your lender before it happens. They are much more willing to work with a business that's transparent.
We've covered a ton of ground here, from theory all the way to a practical checklist, but the final takeaway is pretty simple. Borrowing has to be a measured investment. It has to be tested by that 5-question framework, and it's never just about accessing cash, because you can.
Right. And remember, sustainable growth is a balance between ambition and financial prudence. There's this concept from the tech world, the Rule of 40, where your growth rate plus your profit margin should ideally total 40% or more. Even outside of tech, it's a great mental model. It forces you to ask if your growth is sustainable or if it's coming at the expense of your profits. The decision to borrow is about aligning leverage with that long-term vision.
So the provocative thought we want to leave you with is this. Don't just ask if you can afford the monthly payment today. Ask whether your strategic plan with this new debt truly creates a sustainable growth path for the business 2, 3, 5 years from now. And what specific metric beyond just revenue will you track this month to prove your investment thesis is actually working?